Well, Jesus, we thank you so much for bringing us all here together tonight, Lord. We thank you for the family that we have in you, Lord. We thank you for our time of worship. And we just pray, Lord, that you will give me the words to speak tonight, Lord. As I discuss what's on my heart and your heart, Lord, that you would have people listen, Lord, and that we'd be able to carry this into our practical lives day after day, Lord. We thank you and believe the rest of this time in your hand. In your precious name, amen. The story that we're going to read tonight is found in 1 Kings chapter 12, okay? And it's about one of the kings of Israel, and his name was Rehoboam. This guy was Solomon's son, okay? So you all know who King David was. King David had King Solomon, who was the really awesome, really wise, really rich king, right? Who had a lot of wives. He's also known for that, right? And his son, right after him, was a guy named Rehoboam, okay? And he's the guy who we're going to read about tonight. And in his first, pretty much day as king, first week as king, he made a huge mistake. And it's something that we can learn from. We can learn a lot from it, okay? And then I'll explain why. From verse 1, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." So basically what's happening here, to not confuse you, okay? All of Israel, all of the entire nation, has come to this special place to make Rehoboam king. Okay? And they had a request for him. They all came in front of him and they're like, "Just before we crown you king, your dad put a really heavy workload on us, okay? We'd like you to lighten that a little bit, and we're going to love you. We're going to serve you, and we're going to be very loyal to you, okay? If you're willing to do that for us." So Rehoboam in verse 5 answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So he wants some time to think about it. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. But they replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What's your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam and the king. As the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. He followed the advice of the young men, and said, "My father made your yoke heavy, I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word that the Lord has spoken through Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, the Shilonite. Don't worry about that. When all Israel saw the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house, David." So Israel went home. Here's what happened. Let me break it down for you, okay? This guy had a decision to make in his first few days as king. They said, "Lighten the load. We don't like the way the country was being run, or you know how hard we were being worked. Please ease up on us. We're going to love you." So he says, "Okay, give me some time to think about it." Okay. So he goes to seek advice. It's a major life decision, and it doesn't only affect him. It affects everybody around him, everybody he's serving. Okay. He's getting advice, and we all get advice when we come to a major decision. Nobody just locks themselves in their room and they're like, "Okay, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to write a list of pros and cons, and that's how I'm going to do it. No, we all talk to our friends, and we all talk to different people, and we see what they say, and we see if their different opinions change our minds about something, okay? So first, he goes to the elders. He goes to these people who were his father's advisors, okay? They were Solomon's advisors. Now, we all know that Solomon had a fantastic kingdom under him, okay? He ran a great show while he was alive, okay? He made personal mistakes, but as for his kingdom, it was fantastic, okay? Despite the fact that they're saying the work was harsh. So he goes to them first, and they give him fantastic advice. They're like, okay, they're asking for you to ease up a little bit. Okay, obey them, ease up a little bit, show them that you care about them, basically, and show them that you understand their needs, and they'll be loyal to you forever. They'll love you forever, and they'll serve you. They won't deviate from you, right? Seems like perfectly sound advice to me. His mistake was not accepting. So who does he go to next? He goes to, it says, his friends. The ones he grew up with. It says that they were young as well. It says that they were young men. It makes that distinction very clear. It says he went to the elders first. These are people who have been alive for a long time, who've seen some stuff. And then he went to the young men, his friends, the ones he grew up with, who were in the exact same position as him. So what did they say? They said, you know what? They say, oh, you know, it's too heavy and whatever. Make it so much heavier. Show them that you're not a pushover. Show them that you're not just going to cave to every demand that they make. Show them that you're the king. Show them that you're the boss. Press them even harder. Your father, like, whipped you. I'm going to whip you with scorpions instead of, like, all this super harsh stuff. My father's little finger, I'm going to make it thicker than my father's. Just saying, like, it's going to be a huge finger because it's thicker than my father's waist. It's really weird. It's like a giant, okay? So saying, I'm going to be extra harsh on you. I'm not going to ease up. I'm going to do the exact opposite. And the people's response to that was, why should we listen to you? Why should we even crown you king? You know what? We don't even care about you anymore. We're going to split up. We're all going to go home. And we're not going to recognize that this is your kingdom. And what ended up happening out of that, if you keep reading the chapter, is the kingdom of Israel, which was one kingdom, split up into two. Split up into Judah and Israel. And that was when it happened. And it's been like that till today. This guy is the reason that Israel and Judah have actually split up from each other. They became two kingdoms instead of one. That was the day that that happened. And you see it every single chapter of the Bible after that talks about the fact that they're now two separate nations. Which is insane. Two separate kingdoms, sorry, not nations. I want to talk about who we get advice from. How we go about making decisions, right? Who are we listening to when we're going about our lives doing this stuff, right? When we're thinking about, where am I going? What am I going to do? Who am I going to see? All this kind of stuff. Who are we looking to for this advice for major life decisions? Now, was it his mistake just to go to his friends? No, I don't think so. I go to my friends. I go to my friends for advice. But the thing is, I don't just go to my friends for advice. Okay? There's a verse that I want you guys to read. It's in Proverbs 11:14. If you can pull it up, Daniel. I don't just go to my friends for advice. Because David here was talking about the instructor who was sitting... The instructor who was sitting next to him as he was driving, as he was trying to get his P's, right? And this guy would tap on the brakes to warn David that he's going too fast or too slow or whatever. This is an older guy who's already got his license, who has driven for a long time, and who is now teaching other people to drive, right? Now, what if I put my friend next to me who hasn't got his license yet, and I'm going for my exam, and I'm expecting my friend to instruct me on how to get my license? Does that make any sense to you? No, it doesn't. And yet, that's exactly what this guy's doing. He's like, okay, I need to run this kingdom. I need to make these huge decisions that are going to affect everybody, right? Who do I ask? The people who've been doing this for like 50 years plus, right, with my dad, and who've run a fantastic kingdom, or my best friends who I grew up with who know absolutely nothing about it. And that's what he did. He went to them instead. Welcome, welcome, guys. He went to his friends instead. I want to tell you guys that you miss out on a huge, huge resource when you don't talk to the people who are older than you. And I see this in so many of you, this group of people here particularly. Come in, guys. What's up? Hi. I see this especially in you guys, okay? Especially because most of our parents have come from Middle Eastern backgrounds, right? Or, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They're old-fashioned. We don't want to listen to them. They argue with us. They don't give us proper reasons for why they say no to stuff. All this rubbish. I've been through it before you. I know that, right? The difference is, when I was 17, right? When I was 16, 17, 18, 19, even till now sometimes, right? I would argue viciously with my parents over, like, the most, I don't know, big things and little things and just whatever. I would just argue. I loved arguing. I loved feeling like, ooh, I've got you here. Like, I've wrecked you in this point. You have no reply. Ooh, yeah, I fought you. I got you, bro. Every time, right? I want to do that. I want to be right, okay? And most of the time, they would say no for a particular reason to whatever I was suggesting, right? Not most of the time, but when I was wrong, they would say no. And so I would go to my friends, and I'm like, what do you think about this? And usually, your friends will back you up. And that's why most of the time, you end up going to your friends. Because you know, if I go to my parents, maybe they'll shut this down. But if I go to my friends, they'll probably approve it. Like, they'll probably be like, yeah, man, you're right. That makes sense. I get that, right? But our parents often don't do that because they have a much, much wider perspective of the situation than you do. When I was 17, I look back at the arguments that I made now at 23 and I realize that I was an absolute idiot. For all the good points I thought I was making, believe me, and I don't say this lightly, I was an idiot. I had no idea what I was talking about. At 23, and I'm only 23, I realized that 99% of the things that my parents said were true. Now imagine when I get to 30, or when I get married, or when I have kids, how much more will I appreciate the fact that they were right about almost everything? I'm telling you this now so that you don't waste the next however many years before you realize that your parents were put there by God to advise you. Not to annoy you, not to take away your fun, as some of you so narrow-mindedly think. They're there to advise you. So even if you disagree with them, have the decency and common courtesy and wisdom to at least hear them out and listen to what they're saying and put your own feelings and your own desires aside for 1 second to listen to their opinion in an unbiased way, if you can do that. And that takes a bit of maturity, okay? Like I said, I would just fight back. But it takes maturity to sit down and actually listen to what's being said and try to understand it and try to absorb it, okay? It's difficult. I understand that. I've been there. It's difficult. But I'm telling you now that it isn't just my parents, right, who have this magical advice and you should all go to them for advice, right? Every parent has been put by God in that position for that role, to advise. Here's the thing. I now, right, I'm thinking about, you know, the next steps in life. I'm thinking about things to do with my career. I'm thinking about things to do with relationships. I'm thinking about my future and all these other things that I've never thought about before because I've never been at that point in life before that I'm at right now, okay? And all I could think is, man, if only I could have one day, just one day, with one of my grandparents. What I would give for one day with one of my grandparents. You know why I think that, right? Because I wasted an opportunity when I was a kid. Even when I was 16, 17, when I was old enough to know what was going on. And I should have taken more advantage of those amazing people sitting down in front of me, right? My grandparents both fought in the war, okay? They were both involved at the time in World War II. They lived through the Depression, the Great Depression. Those things that you hear about in history books, they were there. They were standing there. They saw all of that. Careers and worrying about jobs, they got jobs, right? And they retired. Marriage, they got married. They had kids. They've raised kids. All these things that I'm thinking about, like, wow, what will that be like? Or how will I even go about doing that? Or, you know, where do I go from here? They've been through all of it several times over. They've not only done it once, they've done it several times. Now imagine that's your grandparents, right? I was talking to my dad just before I came here. And he was telling me that between the years of 1967 and 1973, there was a war going on between Egypt and Israel, okay? And both my parents, they didn't know each other at the time. They were both kids. And mom was in a place called Port Said, and dad was not in Cairo, he was in the Said somewhere further down. And Israel would fly over the canal, right, and into Egypt, and they would bomb certain locations in the hometowns of both of my parents. Where on the balcony there would actually be like bullet holes and flak and stuff, right? From the bombs that have gone off in the street. My parents, when the air raids came, they would hear the siren and they would turn off all the lights and they would tape the windows. Things I've only seen in movies. My parents lived through these things. When my sister and my mom, a year ago roughly now, they went to Egypt. Me and my dad, we took a road trip up the Great Ocean Road. This is like last year, and I got to know my dad a lot more than I thought I knew him. And I found out a little bit more. I knew that he traveled when he was younger, but I found out a little bit more about it. When my dad was, 22, 23, he borrowed a little bit of money from his parents, and he went to France for 5 months. He worked his way up into a kitchen. He started as a kitchen hand, then he became a sous chef, and then he paid for his way around Europe. Then he went to Germany, then he went to Jordan, then he went for long stretches of time without his parents, without any of his friends, with just a suitcase in his hand. And I'm like, that's my dream. That's something I would love to do. And it turns out my dad has already done that at the age of 22 and 23 and 26 and 27. And it was actually in that moment that I realized that my dad is just an older version of me. Or rather, I'm just a younger version of my dad. For once, I actually stopped seeing my parents as they're my parents and like I'm here and they're there. And there's this infinite gap between us that can never be bridged. The older you get and the more you go through, the more you begin to realize my parents are actually a heck of a lot more like me than I thought. Or I'm a lot more like them than I thought. And man, were they right about A, B, and C, and D, and E. Believe me. You won't have them forever. Instead of going around just to your friends to get advice about what you should be doing with your life and how you should move forward, use the advisors that God has put in your life. Don't just push their advice to one side. I've seen, 4 years ago, I was here late one night when they had the prayer meeting. I'm just sharing with you guys, this isn't preaching, I'm just sharing. When there was the prayer meeting that the adults have after the meeting. And everybody had gone to Macca's or somebody's house or whatever. And for some reason that night I decided to stay, and I was the only one left, I just decided to stay. And what I saw that night shattered my heart. All of your parents, all of them, I was there, I saw them. was sitting in that room outside, not inside the big hole. They were sitting outside in that little area in the kitchen. And they had this big circle of chairs. And as soon as they started to pray for the youth, so many of them got down. They got off their chairs. They got down on their knees on the cold, hard ground. And they started to cry. As each of your parents prayed for you by name, I was there. They started to cry for you. Because some of your parents feel like they're losing you. They feel like whatever they say, you just shut them out and you don't want to listen to them anymore. You've pushed them away and you feel, and here's the thing, guys, they're desperate. They're desperate. And this is something that you don't understand. When they say, you ask for something and then you feel like they're saying no, it's to desperately keep you close to them. But the more they say no, it gets into this vicious cycle where that pushes you away. And then the more you get pushed away, the more you don't want to listen to them. And then the more they say no and the further away you get, your parents are desperate to keep you safe. But you don't want to listen to them. I saw them crying for each of you by name. I was there. I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. This is what our parents do for us. It blew my mind. Your parents, most of them, came from overseas, if not all of them. Think about how big a decision that is, just for one second. Think about how difficult it is to leave all of your family, all of your friends, your work, your secure titles and car and possessions and everything, right? And just plunge yourself into a foreign country and start all over again just to give your kids a better life. To completely sacrifice everything that you want just for your kids. That's what your parents did for you. They've loved you sacrificially, meaning they've laid down themselves for you every single day. The least you could do is have the respect to at least hear them out and to listen to them. I don't see this from most of you guys. God put them there to love you, to show you His love, to keep you safe, to guide you through life, to show you what they've already been through. All those things that you're thinking about, marriage, work, relationships, whatever, they've been through it already. And they've had you as a result. But somehow we wander and we refuse to talk to them first. Always a last resort, or always they might even find out from somebody else about your decisions. Is that fair? Is it fair that somebody would love you that much and for you to not care at all? Is that fair? No. Think about it, please, I beg you. Can you open Ephesians 6, 1 to 2? In the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is obey your father and mother.
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 2. Is obey your father and mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. God gave 10 commandments. He didn't give a reward for the other 9. He gave a reward for just one. Obey your father and mother. Interesting that, isn't it? And the first thing he says, so that it may go well with you. So that you can navigate this life a little bit more easier. So that it may go well with you. And so that you may have long life on the earth. The first time God ever attached a gift to a commandment was the time he asked you to obey your parents. Here's the thing, guys. When I was a kid, I had to obey my parents out of commandment, like they would say, and I just have to do it, right? But then when you grow up and you have your own opinion and you become independent, when my parents tell me to do something, I don't do it because I have to, I do it because I want to, because I respect them and because I love them. Your parents can't control you with a commandment anymore. You're too old for that. If you don't respect your parents, then you won't obey them. If you don't love them, then you won't obey them. And if you don't respect them and if you don't love them, it's honestly because you don't know them. I hate to break it to you. You really don't. Because if you knew how much these people gave up for you, you would have nothing but admiration for them. I don't know how my parents made those decisions. To me seem insane. How do I just leave the country and just go to I don't even know the language of this place that I'm going to, but I'm willing to do it anyway for my kids because I love them that much. And yet, most of my life, most of my teenage life at least, I was unwilling to give them the time of day, like an idiot. I'm telling you this to save you from going through time that you've wasted with from getting to know your parents and from being closer to them. Because believe me, there will come a day when they're not there for you anymore. And when that day comes, your heart will shatter into a million pieces. And you will regret it. I regret every day I didn't spend with my grandparents. I'm not going to have that on my conscience for my parents either. It hurts me when I say this because I know that even though I say this now, I still fall into this trap and I still behave like an idiot from time to time. But at least I recognize that now. And the objective of tonight is to get you to recognize the same thing. Your parents love you. Okay? So do your grandparents if you are still lucky enough to have them in your life. And they are the source of incredibly valuable and wise godly counsel. Free for you to take advantage of. Don't miss out on that. In terms of advisors, right? I have a handful of people. They're not a lot. They're just a handful. But they're not just my age. My parents are included in that handful. A few of my closest friends are included in that handful. And then a few of my friends who are older, who have like 10 years, 12, 13, 14 years on me. Who have been through more. That you have a range. That verse in Proverbs 11, 14 says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. It means you've got a variety of opinions around you. And hopefully you've chosen godly people to play that role. Okay? So when they speak to you, okay, I get the opinion of my friend who is my age. Great, I take it into consideration. Then I get the opinion of my parents. Great, I take that into consideration. Then I get the opinion of the guy who is 10, 15 years older than me. Great, I take that into consideration. Then I pray about it. And see, if something's from God, most of those people you've chosen will actually agree. And you'll get a clear answer. Okay? In a multitude. But if you just ask one person and they give you the wrong answer, it's done for you. You've made the wrong decision. You gain. There's a verse in Proverbs, and we're about to wrap up. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, blanking. It says, the companion of the wise will become wise. In other words, if you walk with wise people, you yourself will become wise as a result. These people who are older than you, I encourage you to surround yourself with them, okay? Not for every waking moment. They don't have to be your best friends, but have them in your life. Call them mentors, call them older friends, call them whatever, okay? But have them in your life because that's how you grow. You don't grow by being at the same level as everybody else around you. You grow by having your mind expanded by somebody who is older than you, who shows you a different way, who shows you a better way, okay? Who's seen more than you, who gives you a bit of wisdom that maybe you haven't arrived at on your own, or maybe that you couldn't arrive at on your own. So I'm not just talking about people who are 60, 70 years, okay? I'm talking about people who are just above you in age, but they still know a heck of a lot more than you, because believe me, from 17 to 23, it's not a very long time, but man, is it like, it feels like so much I've learned in that period of time. Sit down, just with yourself and think about whose voices you're following, okay, through life. And think about the people who love you and who deserve your respect and who deserve to be heard in your decision-making process. Okay? Rehoboam made a mistake. He ignored the winning formula. He ignored the elders who had the answer for him. And he decided to go with somebody who didn't know how to drive to tell him how to get his license instead. Don't make that mistake. Listen to the advice of somebody who's been through it before you. I want to read one last verse with you guys and then we'll pray. It's John 8, verse 29 to 30. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And even as he spoke, many believed in him. He's talking about his relationship with the Father. "I always obey my Father. I always do what pleases him." I want to tell you one last thing. If you can't obey your earthly parents, and you can't listen to your earthly parents who are physically right there next to you, do you seriously expect to be able to listen to and to obey God when you're unwilling to listen to your physical parents? How do you think you're going to swing that one? God is the perfect Father. Your parents love you and they want the best for you, yes. But they still make mistakes. We all know that. But God doesn't. And God is your ultimate person to obey. He's the person to follow. And He's the person your parents are trying to lead you closer to, right? Even though they make mistakes. But He doesn't. But if you can't even obey them, don't expect to be able to obey Him. Think about that, please. Because this is where our Christian walks are going. Towards Him, to be more like Him. And that requires obedience and sacrifice. And if we can't do that physically, how can we do that spiritually? Yes? Okay. Alright, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, Lord. We thank You that Your plan for us is perfect, Lord. We thank You that You've placed so many wonderful people in our lives, Lord. And we thank You especially for our parents and for our grandparents tonight, Lord. For the amazing love that You've shown us through them, Lord. And we just pray that You would bridge that gap between us, Lord. That You would bridge the gap between children and parents, Lord, and between younger friends and older friends, Lord, and that You would show the wisdom in walking with people who have been through it before us, Lord. And You're the ultimate person who has been through it before us, Lord. And You're waiting for us on the other side when our lives end, Lord. And we thank You so much. And we just trust You with all that's to come, Lord. We just pray that You would plant this word in our heart, Lord, and that You would bring it to fruition practically in each of our lives. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.